Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the AI Horror Pod. I'm here, I'm your host, Maurizio Reyes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Malvinder Jutley. How you doing, Mal?
Hello, mate. How's it going? All right? Been a while.
What are you talking about? This is just a week after our last pod.
Of course it is.
I mean, if, for example, this got the pod got published in, I don't know, say like March next year, I totally blame our producer for that. No, it's nothing to do with us.
These have been stacking up for ages.
Yeah. So we'll just jump straight in, pretend there's been no gap in time, all right?
Yeah, sure.
So how have you been?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Since I saw you last week.
Yes. Yeah, I've been all right, you know, just the usual trials and tribulations of everyday life, trying to get to film festivals, trying to watch as many films as I can. I'm not on Letterboxd now, so I'm trying to log what I watch and trying to keep a track of what I watch. And I'm actually getting through a lot of films.
You should follow me because I've been on there for ages.
Have you?
Yeah.
Come find you, mate.
What? Well, I don't like post stuff in there all the time, but I do. I'm there.
I'll add you, mate. You can see what I'm watching.
No, I don't really want to know. Jeez, I have to put you in the pod.
Pod, WhatsApp, everywhere you go, mate, it's you.
Yes, so I mean, I've got a fistful of films that I've seen that I'd love to chat about. Mm-hmm. And I guess you've got some as well.
Yep.
Okay. But can we begin with what happened recently? It was billed as the Mal from the West versus the Beast from the East, wasn't it?
Do we have to?
Yes, we have to do this. Come on.
Everyone knows I didn't get there. Yeah, I was pretty vocal about everything on social media. In a nutshell, I was trying to get to Fright Fest in Glasgow, right in the middle of the worst probably storm we've had in years.
Where are you travelling from, Mal?
So I live in Essex, and the story goes, I had a flight booked, which got cancelled, and then I got rebooked another flight, which got cancelled, and then I'm thinking I need to get to Glasgow somehow.
Everything's snowed over, right?
Pretty much. And to be fair, where I live in a little village, so even getting out of the village was pretty bad because the roads weren't great and everything else. So
like a bad omen.
It was, mate. It was. But anyway, I saw on the off chance, I went to Victoria Station because I had about 4 hours before my flight was supposed to take off. And I thought, look, let me hang around here in case the flight gets cancelled early. I'll jump on a megabus. Just so happens that as I got there, I got a notification saying your flight's cancelled. And the next two megabuses were fully booked. So
wait a minute. So your flight's cancelled. You got a flight and it's cancelled.
Yeah.
And then what, you rang up, you phoned up Megabus, you looked...
No, I was just there. No, I went to Victoria Station and I just sort of said, I was going to just hang around at the bus stop station.
Oh, so you were gambling then?
I gambled. I thought, look, in case it goes wrong, I'm actually nearby.
I'm with
And
you,
she goes, Megabus. Yeah, she goes, oh, the next two are fully booked, you can't get on, but the one's supposed to go now is running late. You want to jump on that? I'm like, yeah, I'll jump on that. And a couple of friends of mine had gone on the bus before, which left about an hour before I did, so I left about 8 in the morning. And they were going great guns. I thought, oh, well, they're getting through. I'll be fine. So I jumped on the bus. Everything was fine. I was letting you know along the way if it's cool. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be good. I want to get to Glasgow on time.
Did it cost you a pound like they sometimes advertise?
No, man. But 20 quid, though. 20 quid to look like. Oh, yeah,
it
man.
Is. It's good. Oh, no, yeah. I imagine the £1 deal was when you book like 6 months ahead and all that.
Exactly, right. Happens. Yeah, yeah. And I did, a little fun fact. I don't know if people watch Mock the Week, but I did tweet that of my first ever Megabus and where's Dara O'Brien? And I got a tweet back saying he's actually on his way to Birmingham for one of his shows on the day. So that was pretty good to hear back from Dara. So there's a running joke. I didn't even watch it, not Maurizio, but they say that the guy that is on the side of the buses looks a lot like Dara O'Brien, and they play up a joke every week. Anyway, so I'm on the bus, everything's going good, and then we get to Newcastle, and we have this half-hour stop. And at this time, my friends who were ahead of me, Mitch and Alistair, said, oh, we're all pulling into Glasgow. You should be fine. The roads were good. I thought, great. And half an hour of this delay, the guy goes back, sorry, we're not going anywhere. There's been a snow drift or snow something, and it's blocked the road, and there's been a lorry turned over. We're not going nowhere.
Sorry, what time is this?
This was at 4 in the afternoon now. No, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, sorry.
Right.
And snow's gone everywhere. We're not going nowhere. We have to head back. I ain't heading back. Then at this time, I'm in touch with some of the fire festers and some of the organisers, and they themselves are stuck in Preston. And they said, look, Mal, can you get to Preston? I said, look, I can't because the bus ain't going that way.
Is Preston any closer than... Newcastle.
No, man. No, it's literally the opposite shore.
Yeah, different angles, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So east, and then we had to go west, and then Preston or Carlisle. And I got people messaging me saying, man, we're in Carlisle. I'm like, I can't get there. So I've gone onto the Virgin Trains website, and no trains are going to Preston or Carlisle, so that can't work. There's no chance in hell I'm getting a cab, because it just ain't going to happen. And to be fair, Newcastle's pretty snowed in.
Yeah.
So then about half an hour into that, he says to me, this guy, the trigger goes, actually, we're going to try again because we're hoping that the roads will clear up. We'll get you across to Edinburgh. I'm like, all right, that'll work. So he said, well, if you wait till 9, we'll get on. I'm like, all right, I'll wait till 9. No, I waited till about 8 o'clock. And at the same time, the bus that we were on had to go back. So someone else drove up with a car.
Had the film festival started that evening, or was it the next
day? It was starting that night at 9 o'clock.
Oh, mate.
So someone drove up with a car. Put our luggage in this car, and we've been told to sort of scatter and keep warm until another bus turns up to take us to Edinburgh. While this is happening, I'm sitting with the driver in the car, having a chat, and a control called him and said, look, you ain't going to Edinburgh tonight. The roads are terrible. It's very dangerous. Just stay where you are or go back to London. And he goes, look, I can't get to London because the bus isn't here yet. Cut a long story short, we had to wait till 4 a.m. in this bus and then try again the following day.
Nice.
And I thought, I'm having that because I'll just freeze and I'm not going to go nowhere. So as I'm sitting there, it's now 8:30. I'm thinking the last train to London was travelling, leaving at 9:15.
Yeah, but you had the date. The days were already, like, you'd booked them off or whatever. You had your hotel waiting for you. I would have gambled, man. I would have gambled.
If I could have gambled, I would have done. Honestly, if I could have gambled, I would have got so far. If I could have gambled and think, you know what, I'll give it a go. But it was, the guy said there's no guarantee we're going to Edinburgh in the morning, which meant I would have to get back on the bus route, probably back as far as Leeds, because they can't do pit stops, obviously. So the next stop was Leeds, then Sheffield, and then go back up and hope the trains are working.
Do you not think at that point you might want to just like jump off the bus, whatever, you're in Newcastle, and then just try and work something out?
So I tried that. The next bus that was going to Glasgow was going to leave at 4 a.m, and the control guy goes, that ain't going to go because there's no guarantee the roads are going to be better. The one after that was then at midday, which means I get to Glasgow probably about 4 p.m. on Friday, which I probably could have still lived with. But again, there's no guarantee because we don't know what the weather's going to be like. And then it would have been having to go from Newcastle to somewhere across to Preston or Carlisle. And at that time, trains were running. So I had to make a call. I thought, do I just sit in this mini, this little megabus thing until 4 a.m, freezing my ass off, and then play the odds or just call it quits and go home because at least I'm safe. So I said, look, the last train's leaving Newcastle. I just said, look, can they give me a lift round to the station? So he did. I took the number. I said, look, in case trains are playing up, you'll still be here till 4 a.m, so I can always give you a call. Can pick up because that's fine. I took his number, and the train went, and I jumped on the train, came home, and I was feeling gutted. I was just like distraught as hell because I thought I tried all that way, but it didn't work. Next morning, wake up, gone.
No, you carry on. So next
morning. Yeah, no, next morning I woke up and I texted dude. I goes, look, mate, what happened? Did you make it? He goes, no, we didn't. He goes, everyone basically that came back, checked into a hotel, and then I drove them all back to London the next morning. And he goes, we didn't get to Edinburgh. We couldn't make it because it was just too dangerous for us to go. So it was just luck, mate. It was just that moment in time, it was just, I couldn't, everything was just conspiring against me. So I thought, fine, called it quits. And I felt shitty for the rest of the weekend because I was trying to avoid social media and everything.
You were like an hour away from Glasgow, or from Edinburgh.
No. So in the bus, it was still a 3-hour journey or 3.5-hour journey in the megabus. Because the guys, the other thing I figured out was the guys ahead of me, I think they took a different route to Glasgow because they were on a direct bus, whereas I was on a stopping bus. That probably impacted me as well. But it's one of the things, mate, it happens. I felt crappy for it. And on top of that, I knew that. So one of the biggest drivers for me to get up there was to watch a film called Tigers Are Not Afraid. Isita Lopez was the director. And I've been tweeting her on and off, building up this. I thought, I'm going to go and see this. And it played at every festival and she won award after award. I thought, this is going to be big. And I have to watch this film with that Fright Fest crowd because, with the right sort of crowd, the film's even better. So that was a big driver for me to see Tigers Not Afraid and also want to see Ghost Stories because obviously Andy Naumann, a regular Fright Fest himself. So on the Saturday when it's playing, I looked up and everyone was just going, best film I've seen in Fright Fest, period. Best film I've seen ever at Fright Fest. Amazing. And I thought, shit, it was good. And I tweeted Asita and I tweeted Fright Fest. I said, I knew it was going to be good. I'm gutted. So I'm going to hunt this film down whenever it's out and watch it because it's going to be amazing. Apparently it was a good festival. There was two or three really, really good films three or four films that really stuck out. Tigers Are Not Afraid, Ghost Stories, of course. And then Erementari, The Devil and the Blacksmith. And then the one that's on Netflix now, which is Ravenous, which you've seen, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, zombie apocalypse film set in Quebec. It's in French, and it was interesting. The location was good, and it was you have like this ragtag bunch of survivors traveling to places on crunchy roads, and they don't stray too far into the woods because the woods are packed full of zombies. And it had some interesting views ideas on the whole zombie thing, like creating almost like a religion that they sort of follow, the zombies themselves. And it sort of linked nicely with people's identities when they were human to when they're zombie. But ultimately, I think I've got a little zombie fatigue. You watch like Walking Dead, don't you?
I don't actually.
Oh, mate, what's going on?
Conversation with a friend of mine at work, right? Because she was talking to me about stuff she watches and it's all serious and dark. I said, you know what? I watch so many horror films. When I come to watch TV or when I come to watch a series on Netflix, I want it to be lighthearted and easy. Because
you don't have any time out. Any other time you spend, you must be sleeping, surely.
I don't sleep much, mate. I get about 5 hours a night if I'm lucky.
All right.
Yeah. So I end up having to watch non brain draining TV program just so I can balance out all the other stuff I watch on movies.
So you don't even watch Fortitude?
No. Jeez. It's all on my list. It's all on my list, but no.
What am I doing on a podcast with you? Right.
I've never seen Game of Thrones, mate.
Oh my God. Well, let's talk about that on some other pod, some Game of Thrones pod. But Walking Dead is like a never-ending zombie apocalypse thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've got friends and family watch it. And it's amazing, and I want to watch it.
It depends when you speak to them because it's a long series and it has ups and a lot of downs. And basically, were we like eighth season now? I'm not even sure. I lost count. The last decent episode, the one I absolutely loved, was the start of season 5, right?
The guy with a bat and something. I saw some images.
That's later on. That was a good episode, but the one that really took my breath away was in season 5. They sort of they lined them all up over a trough and just started like smashing heads in and just killing them one after the other. And you're thinking, Jesus, they're going to go down the line here. And that was a real great moment. The rest of the season wasn't that good, but I thought, it doesn't matter. That episode was so good. Yeah. It holds the rest of the series up. And I was like that for a little while. And then this eighth season, there was like at one point, like one of the cliffhanger was the main character has a gun pointed at his head, and that at that point I'd had
enough. Hang on. Is this spoilery, or is it all right? I'm all right. Because I might watch it at some point.
There's some key characters, they never die. How about that for a spoiler? Sorry. It just felt like a cheap cliffhanger, and I'd had enough. I poured my life into this thing, and I don't want cheap, boring, lazy stuff like that. And I know there's been some, like, some things have happened now, and I should have been watching, but I don't care. I'll just jump online, read a blog post, see what happened. But okay. I think I've had my fill now. I think seven and a bit seasons is enough for me.
Okay. I'll tell you what I did watch, which is an easy watch. Nine half-hour episodes, End of the Fucking World. It's brilliant, man. You've seen it? Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I loved it. I think it's just the way it was done, the shot, the monologue, everything was just great.
Yeah, nice.
So I watched that
nice
recently.
Nice and dark. And young.
Yeah. I mean, it was on Channel 4 last year, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. And then it's a sleeper hit on Netflix. It got released and did a lot of business at the start of the year, I think.
That's it. Yeah, everyone's jumping on it, so it's good. But yeah, so, I mean, that's basically what I've been doing lately, is not getting to festivals and watching a shitload of films. Letterboxd says, looking at it now, that I've watched 61 films since January. They're not all horror films, by the way.
Oh, good. So I don't want to hear about them.
I'm a busy man when it comes to movies. I've got, you know, you might as well, right? And I got Abuse at Cineworld Pass. I've got
very
so,
good.
Yeah.
All good. Right. Well,
so what have you seen lately, mate?
Right. Well, this is a very late entry. This is an easy one. Last night, I rewatched a film I've not seen for maybe 25 years.
Oh yeah.
The Zero Boys.
Okay.
Now, this is an 80s straight-to-video release that's actually been picked up by Arrow Entertainment. They've got like a special Blu-ray with loads of extra things. I haven't seen that copy. I saw that it's on Shudder, so I just streamed it on there. But I definitely want to pick up the Blu-ray because it'll have loads of extra bits and bobs. So this is a film I absolutely loved growing up. Me and my brother used to watch it just over and over again.
Okay.
And rewatching it more or less holds up. Even watching it with adult eyes, it still hangs together. And we're talking, it's a film that is a mishmash of things. It's essentially, right, boiled down to hillbillies versus gun-toting paintball warriors, weekend warriors, right? This crack team, paintball team, go to a cabin in the woods. They get they stay in the wrong cabin, where they invite themselves into the wrong cabin, and then next thing, they mix it up with some hillbillies who are after them. They're there with their girlfriends, so that, you know, you've got the damsels in distress. It's a little sort of misogynistic and all that. There is not that sort of, there's not like that much for the female roles, but I mean, one of the characters is actually Kelly Maroney. She was in Night of the Comet. She wasn't the main one. She was the blonde's sister, younger sister. She's in it. I can't remember the other film she did now. She's done a few anyway. She's like the named character, like the named actor in the lot. And basically, like I said, so the setup, it changes a lot. So it starts like it starts off really cheesy to start off with, because you think there's people having a massive shootout and they're killing each other, and it's all slightly goofy, and it turns out it was a paintball competition, and at that point they all jump in their cars, put the music up, take the girls in the pickup, and they're off, you know, off for the holiday. And then, you know, then when the horror elements start to come in, it gets good. You know, there is there's flashes of someone running in the woods, sprinting, like, who obviously looks like she's sort of half dressed, you know, covered in scratches and bleeding, and everything. She sort of runs past quickly, and that's where they sort of first come across sort of evil happenings. But like, what really stuck out was there's some scenes with the hillbillies where they stumble across essentially what is almost like it enters like torture porn territory, which for a film of, like, I don't know, was it 1986, 1987, that's like almost ahead of its time-ish you know.
Yeah.
And it dabbles with a little bit of torture porn. I mean, it doesn't go, you know, balls to the wall like it did a few years back. Mm-hmm. But the inference is there. And I was quite impressed with how all that stuff happened together. I mean, some of it's a bit cheesy. Like, the beginning was cheesy. Some of the dialogue's cheesy. And essentially, right, you basically got hillbillies with machetes versus teenagers with machine guns. It shouldn't really be a contest. But the way the film's set up, you just go with it. And the guys with the machetes are pretty scary. And there's some...
You're selling this film, man. You've talked a lot about this film in like a short space of time. You must love this film.
it's one from my youth. And then what I loved as well, like watching it as an adult, was seeing the amount of scenes where they go, "Hey, guys, we got to stick together." And then like they all walk off in different, like straight away after saying that, they split into two groups. The first sign of danger, the three guys run outside to investigate with their guns, and they leave one of the girls with a handgun. She didn't even know how to use it. And I think the line is, "Just improvise."
Perfect.
But it still works well. Anyway, I did a little bit of reading around it quickly. Turns out Hans Zimmer did the music. It was before he blew up. So there, it's got some nice. It does have some nice horror sort of little tingles here and there. And I think that's what helps keep the film moving along. And it's also directed by Nick Mastarakis, who is a Greek fellow. I think it's his first film that he did in the US, but basically that's the dude who made Island of Death, the band Video Nasty, I believe, when it came out. Which we can talk about on another pod, because I'm not ready to talk about that one.
You've done a good job sitting. I think you talked about 10 minutes straight for this one film, so I want to watch it tonight.
it's really quick to watch as well. It might be like an hour and a half. And then so, like, you know, I mentioned there was a home invasion, then there's a torture porn bit, then they leg it from the house, and then all of a sudden it becomes like a survival thing. They're stuck in the woods. Mate, there's so many elements in it, and it's cheesy, and you can see
this puts into pale comparison what I watched last night.
What did you watch?
So I watched this film with Dolph Lundgren.
All right. Okay.
Called Don't Kill It.
Oh, okay. And
it's a tongue in cheek, very B movie film about. Do you remember that film, The Hidden? I don't know if you saw it back a while back, where this ghost spirit thingy that kills things goes from one body to another as it dies.
Oh, I thought it was an alien thing. Oh, it must be thinking of something else. Okay, carry on.
I'm sure. Maybe it's alien. It's got that Rolling Stones song as a background. I've got Time on My Side.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing it, mate. But anyway. It's basically
which song now?
I've got Time on my side, but I'm not singing it anyway. I need a few drinks for that. So it's this spirit thing, this demon thing gets unleashed, right? And it takes over a body, and if you kill the person that's possessed, you then become this demon thing, and so on and so forth. And it's just toing and froing between the cliche cops that don't believe Dolph Lundgren, to Dolph Lundgren being a lone hunter type person, to it all going chaotic. And there's some fantastic kill scenes, man. The amount of axes they find in this little hillbilly town is amazing. Because there's an axe.
How recent is the film? Sorry.
I don't know. You know, it's not that old. It's not that old actually.
Okay.
I'll find out for you.
So old is old Dolph, is it?
No, it's new. It's
no, I mean, it's old man Dolph.
Oh, yeah, Richards. Old man Dolph. Okay. 2016, it came out last year.
I was just trying to mentally picture it. I'm picturing old man Dolph. Okay, carry on.
It's old man Dolph, and it's come out last year. It's essentially a horror comedy. You know, I watched it, and I laughed at a few things, and it was so easy. Dolph Lundgren's quite funny as well. His comedic timing is interestingly good. I was like, whoa, you can do this quite well. I'm not going to go on and on because we've got other things to talk about, but watch it, man. It's okay. I gave it about, I think, 2.5 stars or 3 on Letterboxd. It's all right. It's all right. It's not a bad watch.
Okay.
But compared to what you've just seen, mate, it's nothing. I've got nothing to watch this.
Okay, man. Well, I can recommend an evening of entertainment, two films back to back. They work really well. I'm speaking of Creep and Creep. Oh, yeah.
Yes, seen them both.
Yes. So I mean, like, so when Creep 2 came out, Maybe September last year, I think.
I think it
was out for a while, and basically it popped up on Google Play, and I snapped it up. I heard it was coming to Netflix, but then I waited. Well, I waited about 5 days. I thought, sod this. I bought it, and then I fell into the trap of doing that thing. It's the film's in my back pocket. I'll definitely get round to watching that. Fast forward to Christmas, bloody thing pops up on Netflix. I'm like, okay. But the thing that really that made me think, right, I need to own it was just one little comment somewhere on the internet from some random person who said it was one of the great sequels. And at that point, I thought I gotta get it, because we both love Creep. It was such a good film.
Yeah.
It was a really intriguing setup, isn't it? Like, was it basically a guy answers an ad in Craigslist, come and film me for the weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. Easy money. And that's the premise. And things get dark as we go on. And it had a really chilling death in it. That stayed with me for quite a while afterwards, thinking about it. How they filmed that, how it looked. It was just wow. So to Creep 2 was just okay. I wanted to see what it's about. Now the interesting thing, I think, I don't know how you feel about these sequels, is there's always certain ways you've got to play it, because if with Creep, the first one, you don't know the main characters, how it's going to play out. By the time you get to Creep 2, there's no big surprise. The roles.
You say that, but for me, when I watch Creep 2 and you sort of know what to expect because of the first film.
You didn't forget who the serial killer was, did you?
Yeah. But it's almost like, well, how far is he going to push this? And at what point is it going to not be creepy? But it just continues to be creepier and creepier and proper dark.
Yeah, and he takes it off at a different angle. He builds upon it. He doesn't do the same things he did the first one. And it's almost, I see it like Alien to Aliens. That transformation.
It's a big comparison.
Yeah, maybe, because with that franchise, he takes what essentially is like the alien and the concept and how scary it is, and then paints a bigger canvas with it. And I feel that Creep 2 does the same type of thing. Not I'm saying it's more expansive. I just mean they take that idea and then they start to twist it and add some more things, and taking the audience along with them, because they know the audience is.
We're complicit because we see it. It's like there's, whenever you see him doing what he's doing or saying what he's saying, you know it's going to happen, but you're still watching it thinking, go on, let's see what happens. You know what I mean?
The films are so short. They work really well if watching them both, one after the other. Both on Netflix. Both should definitely be watched. If you haven't got Netflix, go and buy it.
Totally.
And not just Netflix, just off, buy the films. Yeah.
Just to finish that off, actually, I will say this though, I do prefer the first one to the second one.
Okay.
Only because of the fact the shock value of it being what it was.
You're completely right. I think I prefer the first one because it's like your first time type thing.
Yeah.
But I was just amazed at how the second one managed to pick up. Carry on going and keep my attention, not make me think, it's not the same because it's the first one's been done already.
Exactly. Moving on from that, I want to ask you, have you got around to seeing Gerald's Game yet?
No, I've got that lined up to watch, mate.
Mate, watch it. But there's that scene that everyone's going on about, which I won't spoil it for anybody. I didn't flinch at all, and that's really bad because maybe I'm getting desensitized to a lot of stuff now. But apparently, it's a really, really gross out scene. And I'm like, okay, could have done more with that, but maybe this is me. I don't know. But Gerald's Game is good. It's a good adaptation. It's third. I won't talk too much because you haven't seen it, so we're not going to do much toing and froing. But what I will say, it sort of potters along in third gear for most of the film.
I tell you what, Mal, we will pick it up in another episode.
Okay.
Because I've got the book, which I haven't read either yet.
Okay.
So I can read it, watch it, and then we can really
get into it. Yeah.
So you're saying it'll be worth my time, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I don't I don't see you saying, "Mal, that's a pile of shit." I can see you really getting your teeth stuck.
I can see myself generally saying, "Mal, that's a pile of shit." Not about Gerald's Game, but about many films that you suggested. I see that as a very real outcome, Mal.
All right, here's one to piss you off with, then, because I know you haven't seen it. Happy Death Day.
I haven't seen it, you bastard. Wait, is it Groundhog Day meets Friday the 13th? That's just a guess.
Yeah, it's a slasher kind of Groundhog Day film. It's really well done, man. It's much better than other shit that's on Netflix with that kid. Something Now I Met You, or I don't know what it is, some love story rom-com Groundhog Day crap. It's a better version of a Groundhog Day film.
Of course, it's really horror.
It's really good, man. Well, yeah, but even then, if it pokes fun at itself that it is that type of Groundhog Day movie. So it doesn't try to be anything different. It says, "Look, this is what I am."
Yeah.
And you're gonna see this day on day, but we're gonna do it slightly differently. We'll chuck a bit of humor in there.
Okay.
Some interesting slashes as well. But I know you haven't seen it, so yeah, I'm just saying this to have a little jab at you to watch it, because it is a good film.
Is the humor like the horror comedy? Is that like, were you talking Tragedy Girls territory?
Yeah, that's not far off, actually. Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know my view on Tragedy Girls. I liked it, but I didn't like the language because it was a bit too...
Oh, mate, that's just you being old.
No. But we've done it in another podcast. I won't do it again, but...
You is proper old, fam.
I like Happy Death Day. Just watch it, and then you'll say, "Oh, Mel, good film for once."
Okay, all right.
But watch that. All right, what else? Let me see what else I've seen recently. So I rewatched it. We've covered that before, which was good.
Yeah, I bought that. The quality is so high on that film. It works well. It holds up to rewatching it.
Yeah. In fact, while we're on rewatched, I'll tell you, I've rewatched quite a lot recently. I rewatched Get Out again.
I haven't got around to that again. I've only seen it once, and I didn't sit there thinking, "This is Oscar territory."
Sky had this thing where they chucked on Get Out and Raw like within a couple of weeks of each other.
I bloody love Raw.
Yeah, so I watched that again in my rewatch category, and I rewatched. I felt like in the 80s and an old school horror night, so I rewatched Night of the Living Dead and My Bloody Valentine.
Okay.
Valentine's Day.
The original My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah. On Valentine's Day. It was on Horror Channel, I think. So I watched that, which was, they're my rewatches. But since the newer stuff, we'll come up to Cloverfield in a bit. The newer stuff I've seen, I caught up on Thingy. I caught up on Belko Experiment.
Yes. I saw that as well.
Yeah. What do you think?
So, I knew I was going to enjoy it anyway, because we're talking that it's by the guy who made Wolf Creek, and he also made that film Rogue, the one about... I mean, he made the interesting film about a killer crocodile in the bush. You're like, you're thinking, how exciting can that get? But he manages to string out the tension and everything. So I was looking forward to Belko Experiment. I did recognise that it's very, very similar to Mayhem, Joe Lynch's Mayhem. Different films still. I think I maybe preferred Mayhem, because I think the way it's presented by Joe Lynch is more of a complete experience that zips along, you know, like a it's quite comedic as well. And also the setup is more believable. The fact that, I mean, it's all fantasy, but like the fact that they have to quarantine the building, like, right, you're stuck in there for, you know, I can't remember what it was now, like 10 hours.
You might go
a bit crazy, kill crazy in there. But the Belko Experiment felt a little bit more contrived. You know, you're in this building that happens to have like all this weird security that's suddenly activated.
And even some of the ways that the story progressed, it didn't make sense. There was a lot of continuity errors, and I'm thinking, I can see what you're trying to do, but Mayhem worked better for me in that respect.
Yeah, with that said, Belko Experiment had some chilling stuff in there that I really liked. Yeah. It also had the concept of, well, he wasn't the true antagonist, but like the boss, he's such a realist and taking pragmatic decisions. He becomes evil, but it's for a reason to do things.
Yes.
And I loved that. And I loved the those close-up kills where people are being forced to kill for survival, and that's really some nasty little moments. And then there was a scene where there was like the deaths are coming thick and fast, and it's like some classical music laid over it, and that gave it a bizarre quality that I enjoyed. Like I said, there were some good moments in it, some chilling deaths and some freaky moments, but yeah. I think Mayhem takes the prize for craziness happening in the building.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I saw I Am Not a Serial Killer.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
You seen that?
Yes. What do you reckon? I want to talk about it in another podcast, but
do you?
We can go through it. I loved it. Christopher Lloyd. I watch all the stuff with him anyway. And
I almost switched off for the first sort of half an hour.
What for?
I couldn't get into it. I was just like, come on. And I think there was a scene where the penny drops of what it is. And again, I won't spoil it for anybody, but there's a scene where the penny drops, or you can't have it. It alludes to what's going on. And I'm like, oh, hang on, this is clever. And then I got into it again. But I think I might have had a tough day that day. I might have been tired. I don't know. But I remember the first 20 minutes, so I was like, should I watch it another day?
I
got it on DVD.
Let me just double check. I've got the name right here. In the US, it was released as A Black Coat's Daughter. And I believe it is called, I believe it's called February.
All right.
I
haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
I might be completely wrong. It's definitely Black Coat's Daughter in the US. And that has a scene later on that is the same sort of thing as what happens real late on in I'm Not a Serial Killer. And I think that suddenly you're watching this film and it suddenly gives it like a weird mystical vibe to the proceedings, you know?
Okay.
Because you take things on face value. You know, you can, yeah, there's evil people and evil things. But then there's like a, you know, like a bit of fantasy thrown in, but like warped sort of horror. I kind of like that. Cause it's real brief. And that's how they do it in Black Coat's Daughter as well. And I really like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I got into it, I was perfectly fine. I was like, yeah, this is good. I'm enjoying this. And then it just took off, and I was like, wow. But yeah, I think maybe I just wasn't into it at the start. But no, it was good. I saw that. I'm trying to think what else I've seen. So I went to Horror on Sea, which is a horror film festival out in Southend in Essex. It happens every year in January.
Yep.
Films are all right. You know, usually one good film a day you're looking at. And they're mostly independent horrors, independently made, low-budget horrors. They get the odd sort of mainstream-ish type movie or one that would have made a mainstream. But there's a couple that I saw which I mean, I only went for one day, unfortunately, or 2 days, unfortunately, because I couldn't get time out.
How long was the festival?
It's quite good. It's across two weekends. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one weekend, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the following weekend. And it's all sorts of films. Some films, like I said, are independent films, which, you know, UK-based, UK independent horror films. Yeah. And some are, you know, Hollywood-style films. I won't go through the whole schedule, but I caught two films. One was a film called The Snarling. It's a UK independent film.
Right.
It was, it's a zombie film that goes kind of wrong. So what it is basically...
That sounds like a werewolf film.
Yeah, yeah. So what it is, it's the English village is invaded by a zombie sort of terror thing, right? But they happen to be shooting a film at the same time about zombies, and it all goes a bit funny and weird, and no one knows what's going on and why. And it's not bad, you know. I liked it. It was funny. It's independent enough to sort of appreciate that. Yeah, it is low budget.
Yeah.
And it's good enough. But I think it's worth checking out. I'm not sure when it's going to be out, mate, or when it's going to be available. To be fair, but when it does, I'll let you know. I mean, do you before we I'll go on to the next one? Do you end up going to any other sort of festivals and stuff yourself?
No. Real life gets in the way, mate.
It's a shame. But you got your thing, right? You got your Biffa stuff, haven't you, as well?
Yes, that is true. Though, you know, I did. There's a couple of horror films in there, but that's more sort of independent film.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'm bringing up the name of the other.
Okay. Well, before you say that, I just wanted to remember that I completely forgot in Belko Experiment when what's his name? When some guy gets his head bashed in, that is messed up, mate. When he sort of
his
skull is literally like there is like a massive dent in it, and he's just like, "What's going on? What just happened?" And you're like, "Dude, your head!"
Right. Before I forget, this other film I caught, which was good, I only went for 2 days, was a film called Dead Love. Now, this is very, very independently made. It's actually one of the Fright Festers who I sat next to in Glasgow last year for the whole festival. He had made the film at the time, but kept quiet about it. And I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm making a film. What film we made? Oh, Dead Love, which is what's shown at Fright Fest, Horror on Sea.
Okay.
And it's the dude from, what is it? Banjo. You know Banjo? You remember that film? We saw that film Banjo.
Yeah, Liam Regan.
Yeah, Liam Regan. You know that. So you know the actor in that film. He's in it.
Oh, the actor in it.
Yeah,
what's his name? Isn't the guy that did Stalled? Is he?
No. That's
Dan
Palmer.
Oh, okay.
So Dan was in. He was in Banjo, but not the main character in Banjo.
Right.
But Dan also did Stalled. This guy's in it. The guy that made the film is called Chris Gallagher. It's I don't know when it's going to come out. It's very, very, very little low budget independent film, but it's quite funny. It's basically about it's this sort of thrillerish, horror-y comedy love triangle between a bloke, a woman, and a table. The table is voiced by Emily Booth, who we know from Horror Channel.
Yeah.
Right. So he's got this thing where him and his table are involved, and yes, he shagged a table in the movie. But then there's his possessive kind of girlfriend.
That's what I pay my money for. Good.
Mate, in a bizarre sort of way, it works. Don't judge me, but it works on the way the film plays out. Find it. It's called Dead Love. But then there's this love triangle with this other bizarre woman that he's dating, and it just goes completely pear-shaped. There's this killing spree, and it's just silly fun. It's so good.
Okay.
Provided you go in there not expecting a Hollywood masterpiece, high budget CGI or stuff.
I'm just there for the deaths, mate.
Yeah, there's deaths there, mate. All right, there's deaths.
Okay.
Yeah, there's plenty of deaths. Yeah. So I saw those two independently, new, which may or may not get a release. I'm hoping they will do. And then, there's a film that I didn't see, but everyone was going on about it. It was called She Kills.
Okay.
The blurb I'll read for you, and then I'll add in something on top of that. When Sadie's husband is murdered by a vicious gang called the Touchers, she possesses a strange hidden power to aid her in her quest for revenge, a homage to grindhouse exploitation pictures of the 1970s.
All right, okay.
Just seek it out and watch it.
You've seen it, right?
I haven't seen it, no.
You haven't seen it? Why are we talking about it?
No. Because it was one everyone said, Mal, you got to watch it, because it was so funny, so hilarious. I think it's on Google Movies or Google Play, whatever it is. To rent or something. It's proper bizarre and out there. But I just thought I'd mention it, seeing as we're talking about horror and seeing the films that were on there.
All right. Tweet it out from the account.
Yeah, I will do, mate. It's proper out. It's very trauma as well. To be fair.
All right. I'm not much of a trauma guy, but I'll.
There you go. Then I think that's pretty much it in terms of what I've recently seen. Oh, I caught up on The Descent, by the way.
Neil Marshall.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it, mate. I just hadn't seen it.
Oh, right. Okay. I hope you did like it.
Oh, I loved it. It's great. It's visceral is probably the word I can think. Because it really moved me in a weird sort of way to thinking these people are stuck in this
in a sexual way.
No. not that sort of film, mate. But it moved me to think, because, you know, they're all they're plight that they're stuck and they're trying to get out, and it's just, you know, they're tearing each other apart, and it's brilliantly done. I hadn't seen it, and I was just like, wow, why haven't I seen it? You know?
Do you know that they watered down the ending for the US release?
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the specifics around it, but it was a completely different ending. I think it was a happy ending. But the bleak ending of that film, the UK version, is what makes that film. I mean, obviously, there's so many great bits in it, but that the ending is a real gut punch.
Yeah, because didn't they do that recently with that remake of, was it Inside? The pregnant woman that's... No, the woman's pregnant and she's being hunted by someone else who she ran over or something. It's a French film, which is pretty brutal, and then the Hollywood remake was just so watered down. It was just ridiculously bad.
I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen some brutal French films.
Check it out. It's called I think it's called Inside. Inside.
Oh, we'll double check that and tweet me from the main account. So
yeah, it is. It's Inside. 2007. Right. There you go. France.
Okay.
Julien Maurer. Yeah. So that's what I've seen recently, I think, off the top of my head.
Have you watched The Limehouse Golem?
No, I haven't. But you're going to tell me about it.
Dude, you got to watch The Limehouse Golem. Well, you probably would want to look up a little bit of Victorian murder history, which would accentuate the film experience of watching Limehouse Golem. So Limehouse Golem is a period piece, and it's set, we're talking like this Victorian era, like I think it's 1880. It's in between two of the biggest murders in East End of London, mate. The famous one from 1811 is the Ratcliffe Highway murders. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it was at the time, it was, you know, it was massive. So you've got, this is the backdrop to the film, you've got those murders that happened in 1811, you've got Jack the Ripper, who is 1888 when all that kicked off. This film is 1880. Now, it picks elements from that whole time period. Now, in the Victorian era, Mal, if you didn't know, especially after the Ratcliffe Highway murders, there was an appetite from the public for this sort of titillating news. It's like we're talking the penny dreadfuls and things, you know, these one penny magazines or newspapers, pamphlets, where it graphically tells a story and it's got some cartoon drawings showing these evil sort of happenings. And in the Ratcliffe Highway murders, we're talking, there was a couple of brutal attacks on one, I believe, was a family and in some shop with, you know, the maid and the apprentice. They all died. We're talking, they got bludgeoned. And what was even brutal was the baby got its throat slit. And within in a 12-day
whoa,
period...
Whoa. A baby got his throat slit?
Yeah, the family all got smashed in. And we're talking, the apprentice got battered in the shop front. So much so, there was brain splatter on the walls. I think it was some type of mallet was used. I wasn't there. I got an alibi. I'm not too up on the second incident, but it happened 12 days later. There was another place on this Ratcliffe Highway, which I believe is called the Highway, which refers to like the East End of London. That's some key roads. I'm not too up on it. I know I live in London, but I'm not too up on that whole thing. I will bloody do it. You know these little dudes who walk around, do the murder tours?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, let's do the murder tour, because then we can do some podding about locations.
You know the guy who does the 70s and 80s homages, double bills, Merlin Roberts. Weird or Wonderful?
I don't know, but it sounds like I should if his name's.
No, you should. You should know. Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's all to do with 70s and 80s horror films and horror homages. Very Hammer House horror stuff. There's loads on there, mate.
All right, stick a note in it, mate, because we're coming back to the film. I haven't got to the film.
I went to one tangent. Sorry, mate.
Okay,
so Wide World. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Okay, so the Ratcliffe Highway murders. The general public are starting to read, the newspapers are starting to bring these stories out, There's the beginning to the formings of a police force. I mean, at this point, that isn't quite there at the start of the 1800s. I think it's all like watchmen and things. And later on, there are police of various districts, but they're not like coordinating properly. So right. the film that happens in 1880, it has a lot of that in its DNA. So it plays out nicely. So for example, the public are just milling about, walking through the crime scene, and all those little touches that are in the film are from things that happen around that period. And I found that really interesting, and it really informs in the story. So there was a series of brutal murders in the Limehouse Golem, and there's a few people that are bludgeoned. There's people with their, I think that some, it's given some type of, their faces are all slashed up and their mouths look all kind of weird and wide because there's all been slit the sides. There's also Jack the Ripper style murder of some prostitute, like who's cut up good and proper.
Okay. Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And what we have is Bill Nighy is like the detective who is trying, who's sort of in a bit of a political cul-de-sac. He's been forced into it. Everyone thinks he's going to fail, and he's there trying to find out what's going on. And also there's a poisoning in there as well. And he seems to have a raft of different murders, but it fits nicely in the period, and it pulls in some nice elements from that period to give you a sort of condensed little story. And I really did enjoy it. In fact, I think because the main MO of like this serial killer is like this Limehouse Golem, and the whole Golem thing is I believe it's sort of a reference to like, I believe it's like a Jewish thing. The Golem is like some type of bogeyman, like I think a human made of clay or something like that. And I think there's a tie in there with one of the Jack the Ripper murders. There was it was something scrawled on the wall, something to do with Jews or something, like some Jew hating slogan was scrawled on the wall. And I think that links there. Oh, there's so many things. I should really read up on this stuff properly before doing a podcast, that type of thing. I think I've covered everything there. It's a bloody great film, mate. Oh, yeah, and we got to the end of it. Like, the whole film's finished. The credits roll up, and it says, In Memory of Alan Rickman. And it turns out that this film was lined up for Alan Rickman to play the copper. He couldn't do it because he was taking time off, and it turns out, suffering, was it pancreatic cancer? And Bill Nighy sort of stepped in and did it. And I believe he was quoted as saying something like, I can't remember the words exactly, but it's just something about the honour of standing in for Alan Rickman. That's just fantastic type thing.
I'll check it out. Is it online somewhere?
Yeah, it's only recently been released.
Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah,
all good online stores.
And some rubbish ones too.
It's got some twists and turns. There's gore in it for the gore hounds, and I thought it was quite tense.
It sounds interesting. Yeah, it does. Interesting, mate. My only other one that I can chuck in to say I did see. No, it's not really a horror as such.
Don't mention it then.
Well, it's, I want to.
You're going to mention on... Game Night, aren't you?
No. Oh, that's okay. Just a random film. I wanted to touch on Cloverfield, but I don't know if you should.
Yeah, no, you can. Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah.
I saw it.
I thought it was crap and just move on.
Mate, really. It was good. No. It wasn't brilliant and it wasn't on the level of the other films, but I still thought it was interesting enough. I thought it was a shame the news came out that the film wasn't actually part of the franchise. It got retroactively had some scenes put in there, but I still accepted it.
I think it worked. I think I said to somebody it was like 5 or 6 short films put together.
Yeah.
Which sort of had different stories.
They're trying to take on a lot. I thought. Yeah, I did think that.
Yeah, I think had I seen it without any other Cloverfield films with no context, I probably would have bought it a bit more.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. But we can move on from that, mate. Because
even that money shot at the end, the bit that's like, I loved that as well.
No, there were some shots that were pretty decent, but then I mean that shot when, what is it? Something that they get shot out of the thing and they freeze up. What's that shot? I forget.
He's shot out of the thing and they freeze up.
I don't know, man. I've had a tough day, mate. I've literally got in from work about half 8. But there's some stuff there's scenes that look good. Don't get me wrong. There are scenes that look good. The hand bit was funny. It was great. The hand crawling around.
Yeah, it's the guy from the IT crowd. Of course. It's
But it made no sense But there were bits that looked good, but as a film, I'm like, maybe not. I don't know.
It's a paradox now. It's a paradox.
Yeah. It's, right, look, let's talk about what's coming up, what we're looking forward to seeing.
Whoa. I just want to quickly mention there's 2 more films, I think.
Is it? Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. First one is there's even another one. I'll save that for another pod because there's more I want to say about that one. Forget I said that. So basically, right. I want to say to you, yes, Mal, I did watch The Killing Ground. I bought it after you told me to watch it.
Good man.
I don't know why I bought it, because I don't think I'm going to watch it too many times, but I really did enjoy it.
I'm 2 for 2, mate.
Fascinated with the way they tell the story, because it's time shifting, isn't it? It's jumping forwards and backwards in time, but told at the same time. So
how
they keep it all. They keep the tension up. So is it a couple?
Yeah.
They're camping next to them. Yeah. There is an empty tent. Well, they don't know if it's empty. They just know that no one's coming and no one's going. And at the same time, there's another story of the people in that tent, and
it's
being told at the same time, so the big reveals don't happen till later. I thought that was fantastic, and I always talk about I talk about rape.
Yeah, you have got an act to fall into that.
I really liked the way they handled the whole rape thing in this film, in that they don't focus on it. They don't. You know, there's no point having to go. Like, it's just cheap graphic thrills. They need to go there, so they don't. The inference is there, and I think that's powerful enough. But anyway,
as is the scene with the baby and towards the end.
Yeah, you when you were describing it to me, you really were like, oh, that's something heavy,
mate. It was first thing in the morning on a Saturday morning or a Friday morning or a Sunday morning.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and I watched it. I thought, oh man, that's hard to watch at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
so maybe that's why it had more effect on me. I don't know.
Oh, so it did. It was like sort of. I did find it sort of shocking, but I certainly thought you were really like, whoa, that was.
I was. I really was. I was like, shit, that's a baby, man. What are you doing? And maybe I don't know. Maybe it's like if it was 7 in the evening or 8 in the evening, I don't know. I was chilled out a bit more and you know, not as what it was. I may have been all right. Yeah, I found it very harsh, to be fair, that scene.
Yeah. So it definitely gets a ticket in my book.
Good stuff. While we're on the subject of crazy Aussie films.
Right.
Did you see Hounds of Love, or have you seen Hounds of Love?
No, but I think I own that. I've got a list of films I own.
This is another film you've bought and then just forgotten about.
Yeah, I knew I had to buy it, so I did. I haven't seen it.
Hounds of Love is amazing.
Okay.
It's this creepy couple that kidnap kids.
Hey, I've got it, mate. Don't tell me too much.
No. That's the premise. And, oh, man, it's harrowing. Look, they've done it before with other Aussie films that have done, you know, and those sort of Aussie twisted, fucked up films. Just they keep turning them out. It's like a production line of these films that they think, man, you can't do any better. And they do. But Hounds of Love, oh, man, it's harrowing. It's
all right.
Yeah. It's, look, you know what to expect, but it's just this struggle, this kid. And you're willing her to get through it. And I won't say too much because you're going to watch it. But, mate, if you don't like it, I'll be very surprised. Maybe we can discuss it in the next podcast. But Hounds of Love, watch it if you own it. If you don't own it, go and buy it and watch it. It's brilliant.
All right.
I think it was out last year. Yeah, really, really good. Just while we're on the subject of Aussie films that are twisted, because they do it quite well.
Yeah, I bought it. I didn't even realize it's Aussie.
Oh, man, I think it... Yeah, no, it is. It's set in Perth, Adelaide, something like that, I don't know.
just quickly looking up the director's credits, this isn't telling me anything. He's done Prank Patrol, Bush Basher, Castaway, Something Fishy. That didn't mean nothing to me. But,
I don't know.
Okay.
But no, it's set in
I'll take your word
Perth.
For it.
But no, it's bloody good. It's set in Perth in the late 80s as well, and they do it quite well. And it's very raw as well. It's very, very raw and in your face. So, yeah, watch it. Let me know what you think, mate. Okay. But, yeah, sorry, you had another film to talk about, didn't you?
Yeah, but let's save that for next pod, because I really liked that film.
Oh, what is this? Just do a teaser, mate. What is it?
Super Dark Times.
Oh, I've seen that.
I know. I only saw it quickly because you warned me that you were going to mention it in the pod, but you haven't. So let's let it go and we'll do it in the next one.
Okay, fair enough. You liked it, didn't I take it?
Yeah, I really loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that's the cliffhanger for next podcast. Lovely.
Yeah, I got... So, like, well, yeah, that's another to crowbar in.
For let's not talk about it.
I've got some ideas. So I think I shared some of the list with you. Like, I want to talk about films set in a mortuary.
Films set, okay.
Because like, there's a few good ones.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Yeah, so we can talk about that.
Okay, we can do that.
Right, I'll feed you the list again. And then the other one would have been, a film based on a true crime, which I guess...
Yeah, do a few of those.
Yeah, okay.
Based on true events, in inverted commas.
Okay, should we cover some films coming up?
Yeah, by all means.
Anything interesting you want to talk about?
There's a few that look really good. So I saw a trailer for Unsane, which is out on 23rd of March.
Not heard of it. What is it?
Oh, man. Put me on the spot. Why don't you?
Unsane.
Unsane. Unsane is basically about this woman leading a normal life. She... moves from somewhere to somewhere. I'm going literally on a trailer that I saw last week. But basically, there's someone stalking her.
And okay.
Everywhere she goes, she sees this stalker, and she's like, "Man, this is not good." Anyway, the trailer then cuts to her going to this therapy session, and her signing stuff, and then her getting committed into this asylum place, and then the battle and the trailer alludes to the fact that, is it really her imagination or is she actually being stalked by somebody? And it's just her going mental day by day by day. And there's shades of, you know, Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with, I'm not really ill. Am I ill? Do I take the meds? Do I not take the meds? You know, they allude to a lot of that. Sure. And that's coming out. And look, it looks pretty good. It's getting some good buzz. Rotten Tomatoes is giving it, I think, about, top of my head, 70%, I want to say. Half decent. But it looks pretty good. And that's out 23rd of March, which I'm definitely going to try and catch if I can. And then Ghost Stories is out, which we spoke about earlier in the podcast, on the 6th of April.
Okay.
And then Emily Blunt is in a film called A Quiet Place, which is out. When's that out? That is out on the 4th of May, actually. I've got some notes on that, but I'll come to it in a little while. bear with me because I've lost my notes on that film, to be fair. After A Quiet Place, that was it in the recent ones, to be fair, mate, that are coming up that I know are coming up soon. There's some coming up later in the year. Obviously, Halloween, that sort of stuff are all coming up, and we've got loads of good films coming up later on in the year. Mom and Dad's out. The Nicolas Cage thing where his kids get possessed and he's got to kill his kids. Do you know about this?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, no. You don't know about it. Oh, no. Man, it's mental. I think it's out now or it's coming out pretty soon.
I think the main thing that I'm waiting for is the festive smash, Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yes, you mentioned this.
Which is a Scottish musical.
Yes,
about
right.
zombies. I know I mentioned earlier I'm bored about zombies, but I think this is good. This will be a shot in the arm for the zombie genre film. And then the other couple, Mohawk, which got released in the States.
Yes.
You don't need to know anything extra, then it's called Mohawk. How can you not want to see a film called Mohawk? Tragedy Girls hasn't got a date yet for the UK, but the US are way ahead and have got the film. So I want to keep an eye on that. And then also my film of Fright Fest last year, which was Low Life, has been picked up by Signature Entertainment, but there's no word on when that's being released. And those fine fellows at Raven Banner, I believe, have got Anna and the Apocalypse. So I bet they'll be bringing it out for Christmas. And another film, which I really liked the trailer, Hagazusa, A Heathen's Curse, I guess is like The Witch on Ice with some banging tunes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll keep an eye out for these, mate, because we've got a long list of stuff to go through. Just to go back, Quiet Place is out on 4th of May. This family lives in an isolated sort of area in complete silence, and any sound you make, you get attacked, and it's trying to escape those that are being followed. It's proper creepy and very Babadook-ish from what I'm reading.
All right, okay. Yeah,
and Mum and Dad is Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair.
Yeah, stop saying Nicolas Cage because that's actually put me off. But okay,
no, man, it's fun. He's Nicolas Cage. I'm not going to do an impression of Nicolas Cage because I can't, but he's Nicolas Cage. Teenage Gil and her little brother try to survive a 24-hour mass hysteria sort of thingy. Of unknown origins, and it causes their parents to turn violently on their own children. So it's these kids and then the parents, and they're attacking each other, and it's supposed to be quite funny and quite in your face.
Parents beating out their kids. Yeah, I'm interested, mate. I think I might find enjoyment watching that.
So one of the blurbs online, it says a morbid satire about parents trying to kill their kids. Mr. Cage has plenty of opportunity to go
on
full.
Board in spite of Nicolas Cage. I'm on board.
So that's out pretty soon, and obviously we've got things like Halloween coming up later on in the year, right, which is going to be amazing.
Yes.
The Nun, I don't know, I'm hoping it's going to be okay. This is the Nun from the Insidious film. I don't want it to be another Annabelle, you know.
It won't be. The reason it won't be is the director, Corin Hardy.
Yeah.
He's done. He did on the spot. The Hallow.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was because I think his background is in sort of designing monsters and things like that, making those sort of those old school effects.
Yeah, and Nun is a creepy character. I mean, in Insidious, she was quite creepy. She was like, made you jump a bit. I remember sitting next to you when we watched it.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I can't even remember now. But yes, I think she's very. I mean, she's scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary Nun.
Then Hereditary is coming out. Don't even know about Hereditary. It's someone in the family dies, and then there's a presence left behind, and then there's a bizarre focus on their granddaughter. And then the household is under threat by this supernatural force. And Toni Collette, who plays the lead in this film, has got to find out what's going on and save everyone. It's supposed to be pretty creepy. I think it premiered at Sundance.
I think
we've got a lot to talk about.
We have. And we've got some ideas for a another pod, which hopefully we our producer will actually pull his finger out and get it released quickly, so we can actually look like a professional outfit. Okay.
Come yeah. On, let's just make it. Let's make it a New Year's resolution in March that we're going to try and get on this a bit more, shall we?
Yeah. All right, Gag. Sort it out, mate.
Look, it's been good catching up because I think there's obviously we've whizzed through a lot of movies. Sat down and. Apart from that one that I've forgotten on Shudder that you went on for about half an hour about that you saw as a kid and
the
we watched
Zero
it again.
Boys. The Zero Boys.
Yeah. Apart from that, we didn't really dissect, but we gave everyone a bit of a few pointers as to what to keep an eye out for or what to watch that we've seen. So hopefully that's helped. And it's just been good to chat, mate, and then, you know, just put this down and let everyone hear our ramblings, I suppose.
All right, dude.
Cool. The next one's going to be whenever, I suppose. Let's not put a date on it just in case.
Yeah. It'll be out before you know it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cheers, remember, Mal.
Quality over quantity.
Yes. Cheers, Mal.
All right, Mauricio, take it easy, mate.
Yep.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.